KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks again to Pastor Tom Hendrick and his lovely wife Sally for stopping by this morning for the first hour of our study. And also for letting me know, yes, it's not afternoon yet. I know, a little slip with the weather there. We strive for accuracy, but sometimes, you know, it looked like afternoon. It just, the sun was so bright. Forecast says partly cloudy, and I'm looking out the window, and the sun is shining, and yet they say it's partly. So everything is confusing. Maybe a bit of clarity, maybe a light shining into the darkness here of what we've been doing might be advisable. Perhaps Pastor Dave Andrus, our good friend from Lutheran Blind Missions, can provide that light. Are you feeling very bright today, Pastor?
I am feeling wonderful.
You are?
Yes.
Good, because I'm a little draggy today.
Are you?
I don't know why.
This should be a fun hour then.
You have always made this a fun hour.
It's going to be even more.
Yeah, hey. Well, speaking of fun, do you want to start out on something deep and theological, or do you want to start out on something sort of annoying and fun?
Deep and theological.
Deep and theological?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start there. Right. I'm driving to work this morning. I live in South City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I'm not going to mention the name of the congregation. That would not be beneficial, and that's not the point of why I raised this. But there's, you know, down on the south side, there are a number of Lutheran churches, some LCMS, some of a different flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those churches that happens to be a Lutheran church of a different variety had a church sign out front that read, "We support the separation of church and hate."
We support the separation of church and hate.
Yeah. Now, at first blush, what do you think the average person would take away? What would they understand that church as trying to say to the public?
I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because what people understand and what somebody means are not always synonymous these days.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because maybe the church is trying to say something to the public, and I don't know how they perceive it. It struck me as just something that maybe we ought to explore a little bit here on Ask the Pastor, because maybe we can discern some meaning out of this, because it seems to me that what they may be implying is that to be a Christian is to not be hateful, or that if it talks about the separation of church and hate,
mm-hmm.
that somehow hate has no place in the church. But then this is where things get really confusing, because mm-hmm. when you read the Bible, you see places where, well, you know, we love to declare God a God of love,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have this impression that, well, how could he possibly hate anything? But then you read the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wonder, you know, does God hate? And you know, what does he hate? And if he does hate,
mm-hmm.
how can a God that's all-loving hate anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose the sign is trying to say, hey, we're a loving, caring place, and we're separating ourselves from all hatred so we can be a cozy place here where everyone will get along just right because we love each other.
Y'all come.
I suppose, just even as you're talking and I'm running down that branch, I think that's probably what it's trying to say. But you raised the real logistic concern, is that God does hate. He hates evil. He hates it when people spiritually commit adultery against him. There's many things especially the Old Testament, it speaks of that he hates. But even in the New Testament, Jesus says, unless you hate your father and mother and follow me, you're not worthy of me.
Yeah.
I think the other concern, though, I would have is, okay, I can handle we separate church and hate, because we can talk around that word hate and get... I think that's not the issue. But what are you running to? And if you're saying we separate ourselves from hatred because we want to... And that's the dilemma that you get into, if you're separating yourself from all hatred, which on the surface seems good, But in reality, then you have a difficult time proclaiming God's law and gospel.
Hmm.
Because he does say some things are not acceptable, some things are not right, some things are wrong. And if you separate yourself from all hatred, that means you can't speak up against things that God speaks up against.
Ah, I think I see the direction you're going here.
You have to accept everything. Because hatred is not just that. In the United States, especially in our American culture, we've connected the word hate to that emotional fury of vengeance and anger and violence. But it has a wider encompassing meaning than that. And that's where God's law and gospel come in. That's where God hates. He hates sin. He hates it when people sin against him and commit spiritual adultery.
Well, let's run with that for a couple of moments, Pastor. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can also reach us by way of email at kfuo@kfuo.org. Driving to work this morning, I saw a sign out in front of not an LCMS, but a different Lutheran church.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign says, "We support the separation of church and hate." Hate, H-A-T-E. And I was perplexed by that, wondering what the message was they were trying to send. Perhaps you want to venture a guess as to, if you happen to drive by that church or one like it that has a similar sign out front, what would you take that phrase, that statement, to mean? We support the separation of church and hate. Now, Pastor Andrus, we know that man is made in, I think, what's called the Imago Dei, right? The image of God.
Yeah.
All right. So if man can hate and we're made in the image of God, doesn't that imply that God, too, can hate? Or is that a product of the fall?
No.
To which part?
Well, and that's why I slowly said yes. Man originally was made in the image of God. But now that we have what we call original sin, and for anyone who's listening and who isn't steeped in Lutheran understanding, what that really is referring to is that we have the propensity, the inclination to sin, but also a relationship that's immediately found against God. We don't know him. If you leave a person grow up somewhere and don't teach or train them about God, they will not know God nor love God, but only know themselves and love themselves. And so we have lost the image of God. And so to say that we are created in the image of God, not necessarily, not anymore, not after the fall into sin.
Hmm. Well, we know that, I mean, it's obvious, we live our lives, so we know that man can both love things and hate things,
right,
and love people and hate people.
Right.
But the Bible tells us, I think it's the Sermon on the Mount, that hating someone is equivalent to murder. So by logical extension, shouldn't we be prohibited from hating anything?
No, you got to look at that in context.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah.
Just when I thought I had it all figured out.
Yeah, the Pharisees were really big in the externals, and Jesus was trying to point out God not only looks at the externals. In fact, I got to be careful. I can't say almost ignores them. But the externals are secondary to God. He looks at the heart. And that's why it was when Samuel was sent to anoint the new king, God even said to Samuel, when he saw David, or even before he saw David, that God looks at the person's heart, not the outward externals. And so Jesus' point in the Ten Commandments is, you say don't kill, don't murder, that's fine, but we got to go take it many steps further, because God sees the heart. And in your heart, if you are hating somebody, and that's the proper definition as we think in America. Hate is this anger and violence, the emotional outburst. But if you check it and control it and don't thump me over the head with a baseball bat, in God's sight, you've still committed sin, just as bad as if you had thumped me over the head. By the way, I'd prefer you to hate me than thump me over the head. But so Jesus was trying to make a point there, is it's all, from God's point of view, it's not just the external, but the internal. Now, you can look at other verses, though, where it does say It is not only right, but God does hate certain things, and he gets angry at certain things, but it's in relationship to his priorities, not my priorities. So if you steal my granola bar for lunch, I'm going to hate you. Well, I've sinned. Well, in God's book, that's not his priorities, where hatred is acceptable. Now, if, however, you profane his name and jeer and mock him and hurt a Christian just because he's a Christian, now we're on God's agenda. That's not a good thing. And it's okay to hate what just took place.
So if the implication, if the intention of this sign is to say that to be a Christian, even to be a Lutheran Christian, is to be hate-free, would be an error.
Yes.
Now, that may shock some people. Because when we live in a culture where you're not supposed to hate anything, even broccoli.
Well.
Which I happen to like, especially if you grill it.
I kind of grill broccoli?
Oh, yeah, a little bit of olive oil and butter, and you grill it.
What, you drizzle it with olive oil and butter, and then you put it on the grill?
Oh, yes.
How long?
Oh, just enough to get it, not so that it's real crispy, but just, you know, tenderize a little bit.
Do you put it on spears or on the big stalk?
I'd take the stalks, and we kind of have them.
I gotta try that.
Try asparagus, too.
You know,
wonderful.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh,
on the grill?
Yeah. And the olive oil, we're going too far down a rabbit hole, but the olive oil keeps the butter from burning.
So you're using real butter, but olive oil, and the olive oil keeps it burning. I like that.
And you just baste it a little bit, and it does real, real well.
See, now you can boast to all the listeners, there's even more reason to listen to KFUO Ask the Pastor. You get good recipes for the grill as well.
We are the Swiss Army knife of programs, aren't we?
I like that, though. I'm going to try that. I love grilling. So.
Well, let's make this easier for the listeners here, because, as you said, it would be an error to say that Christians are hate-free, and this sign is implying that we probably should be.
Right.
So what can I hate? Because I'm really busy. I'd like to make a list.
Whatever God hates.
Now, that seems far too easy an answer.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, if you go to Proverbs 6, I mean, conveniently, imagine this. Scripture actually gives you a list of things. Did you know this?
Yeah, I do.
Proverbs 6.
Go ahead and read it, though.
Let's see here. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren.
You know, it's interesting on some of those. You think, oh, yeah, hands that shed innocent blood and planning deceitful things. But what was the first one?
A proud look.
Yeah. So you see, it does go to the heart and to the intent of people, not just the outward actions. And these are the things God hates.
So the proud look stands out, but which other ones stand out for you?
The last one.
Discord among the brethren.
We have too much discord among the brethren.
Do you think that perhaps by putting up a sign like that, they might actually be doing what they don't intend to do?
It's possible, yes.
Even when we try and do good, we sin, Pastor. What hope is there for us?
Yeah. Well, as with most things, I mean, this sign is just to catch a person's attention, and look what they did to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, they didn't make me hate them. They confused me. Because my mind went to Proverbs when I saw that. Now, what?
Now, the average person who's a little confused, what might they do? Call or walk in the door.
Well, that's true.
That's what the sign was trying to get them.
I see. Let's go to the phones and see what the listeners have to say, Pastor.
Okay.
Oh, let's see who's been waiting here the longest. I think Jim has been waiting the longest. Jim, good morning. You're on with Pastor Andrus.
Brother Roland, how you doing?
I am well. Thank you.
I just turned in on you and heard this guy, this pastor. I didn't mean to be a guy, but I guess you are a guy.
he's a mensch. That's right.
Okay. But that we are without hate, is that what you're saying?
No, I think Pastor said just the opposite.
Say it again, because I thought I heard you right a while ago, and that's one reason I called in.
I guess
we're talking in circles. You got to understand that. And that's part of what the discussion is about. First, the sign said, what was it again, Roland?
The sign read, "We support the separation of church and hate."
This is on a local church. And the question then is, do all Christians, are they not to hate at all? And Roland brought up, but there's parts of the Bible that say that God hates, and we can hate. And so that was the discussion point. When is it right or wrong to hate?
Yeah, okay. Now, going from that perspective, hate, number one, Jesus says, unless you hate your parents,
yeah,
or your brother or your sister, be my followers. But the hate here is not I hate your guts, you know. And
yeah.
I don't want to never have anything to do with you. Don't even call me or anything like that. But I think it's a preference. God hated Esau, but he loved Jacob.
There's another one, yeah.
I think he preferred Jacob over Esau. He didn't hate Esau to the point that Esau couldn't be saved. I believe the Bible says that God is angry with the sinner every day.
Mm-hmm.
We could transfer that anger over to hatred. But I was just reading in 1 John today that says if I hate my brother, you know, then I'm walking in darkness. I don't know anything about light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, what kind of hate are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And that is, and you've caught the whole thing and why Roland brought this up. What is this church sign trying to say? And is it saying too much?
Thing about it is, I've got a lot of friends, but some of my friends, I prefer to be with some rather than others.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't mean that I hate them, but it is that I have a preference of them. I think if I have hate, the technical word for hate in my, especially against my brother, and I'm not supposed to hate anybody, but God has a right. If he wants to hate somebody, now he has a right because he is absolute perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I am not.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on the right track or what?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And
I was reading over in, I believe it's in, First John, if I'm not mistaken, might be in the first chapter, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I do not understand all that means, but I cannot understand a person that is absolute light. Can you?
It's a difficult thing.
I mean, if he wants to hate somebody for not serving him, now he may have a right to do that. What Roland, Brother Roland said a while ago about God hates these things that are in people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like what you said, and you changed the word from hate to preference. Because many times that is what the Bible is trying to relate. And Jesus said, as you noted, unless you hate your father and mother, unless more than me, he's trying to say love them less. And there are degrees of meaning to that word. And I'll be honest, I don't have my Greek Bible is on the shelf way over there. I can't reach it right now to look up that verse. But it would be interesting to see if it is a different word than some of the other words in reference to the word hate.
I think maybe in the Greek, hatred might have more meanings than one. Let me bring it down to this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a dirty thought. I cannot help a dirty thought from coming into my mind,
mm-hmm.
but I can flush it out right fast. I don't have to let it stay.
Mm-hmm.
And if something comes into my heart against a brother or a sister, I do not have to let that stay.
Mm-hmm.
I can dismiss it. And with the authority of the Word of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can dismiss it. I don't have to dwell on it. In other words, if somebody does me wrong and I say, I forgive you now, that is one thing that it we are human and we are never going to forget sins. He can cast them into his sea of forgetfulness or to wherever he casts them, from the east to the west. But you and I are human.
Mm-hmm.
And from time to time, the devil is going to bring that thing up into our minds. But we have the power of the Word of God and the help of the Holy Spirit to dismiss that and not dwell on it and not let it boil in our spirit again like it may be.
To the point of becoming hatred. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Okay. Bye-bye, Roland. Thank you.
Pastor?
I think you make some valid points there. And you know, that our English has a difficult time with the word both love and hate, because there are various things that the other languages, many languages of the world, but not English, have different words for. Even like Eskimos have, like, what is it, 13 words for the word snow?
Yes.
You know, to emphasize the different things. All the different languages have different words for love and some for hate as well.
Let's jump back to the phones quickly before we go to our break. We've got a little bit more than 2 minutes. Herman, looking forward to your call this morning. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I mentioned that sign. Let's put a true gospel statement on it to begin with. It should read that the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and his declaration by grace through faith separates us from sin, death, devil, and hell. And the statement as you read it is a works righteousness statement, which is not the gospel. And another point is, its real intention is to try to shame people in a kind of a manipulative way to embrace the current popular lifestyles of sex addiction, same-sex attraction, marriage, and abortion, and all of that baggage that goes with it. So that is probably, it's a true sentiment and statement there. but I wanted to call in and kind of run that past you.
Well, Herman, get right to the point, will you? I think you're absolutely correct. I was trying to be rather nice to the congregation and not be quite... I mean, everything you've said ran through my mind as well. It is not a gospel statement. Actually, the gospel statement you gave is correct, but you wouldn't be able to fit that on a sign. They were trying to play with hate to certain aspects and lifestyles of our society. They're trying to say, hey, we are open to it all, more than likely anyway, more than likely. But see, that's the problem with signs is, we don't actually know until we sit down and talk with them what they mean.
That's true. It appears that the inference is that they're coming from kind of a watered-down, politically correct, charismatic kind of posture. Just kind of indiscriminately love anybody, anything, and then nothing can be really wrong.
Yeah, it seems to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Herman, good comments. Thank you for the call. We have to go to our break. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I think this may be worthy of a few more moments when we get back from the break, Pastor Andrews. A lot of good things to unpack from this. You can join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. And Pastor Andrews, here's an opportunity to grab that Greek Bible and see what that word maybe really means. We'll be right back after these few short messages. Stick around.
Dr. C.F.W. Walther once told his seminary students, "I wish to talk the Christian doctrine into your very heart, enabling you to come forward as living witnesses with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do not want you to be standing in your pulpits like lifeless statues, but to speak with confidence and cheerful courage." Today, Concordia Seminary still strives to do just that.
You're a young woman. Staying fit is a challenge in today's fast-paced world. With the combination of eating right, exercise, and folic acid in your everyday diet, you can stay healthy longer. It all counts.
Taking care of yourself now will pay off later. Eat a healthy diet. Take a multivitamin with 400 micrograms of folic acid and drink plenty of water every day. What you put in your body matters. It all counts. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/itallcounts. Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services and the Health Resources and Services Administration.
A Roman Catholic Church official testifying in his own defense says Philadelphia's late Cardinal Anthony Bevilacqua ordered staff to keep alleged victims of priest sexual abuse in the dark about other accusers. AP correspondent Mary Claire Dale reports that Monsignor William Lynn, the Archdiocese's former secretary for clergy, is fighting child endangerment and conspiracy charges over his handling of complaints that priests were molesting children.
He said that Cardinal Bevilacqua in those days would not allow parishes to say that priests had been accused of abusing children, but that they were usually told that the priest was going on leave. He says that was partly accurate, but on cross-examination, a prosecutor reminded him of the Catholic Church teaching on sins of omission.
As the cross-examination continued,
prosecutors kept almost mocking Lynn when he said he was merely taking orders and reminded him that taking orders, if you're committing a crime, is not a defense.
Lynn faces up to 21 years in prison if convicted. I'm Steve Coleman.
KFUO AM officially went on the air December 14, 1924. The first broadcast originated from the attic of the old seminary building on South Jefferson in St. Louis. 3 years later, we moved to our current location with our dedication on May 29, 1927. This year, May 29th, marks our 85th anniversary of broadcasting from this historic building at 85 Founders Lane on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, making us the longest continually operating broadcast studio in the world. Come celebrate this milestone with us during an open house on Tuesday, May 29th, anytime between 10 a.m. and 2. Enjoy punch, cake, and visit with KFUO staff. Also, visit our KFUO History Museum right here in this historic building. Again, come celebrate the 85th anniversary of the world's oldest continually operating broadcast studio on May 29th with your friends at KFUO Radio. 85 years at 85 Founders Lane on 850 AM.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
NARAL is a radical pro-abortion organization. Their president, Nancy Keenan, recently announced she'd resign at the end of the year. The reason she gave was to make room for younger blood. During a past interview with Newsweek, Keenan lamented her group is dominated by women over 50, and the younger generation wasn't flocking to their pro-abortion side. When she got off the train in Washington, D.C., it happened to be the morning of the March for Life. Keenan told Newsweek, "I just thought, my gosh, they're so young. There are so many of them, and they are so young." A change in leadership isn't going to change the fact that pro-abortion activists are losing ground. As more people realize the ugly and deadly reality of abortion, they join the side for life.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to the Ask the Pastor Hour here on AM 850 KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Butner. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Dave Andrus. Dave Andrus is the Executive Director for Lutheran Blind Missions. And we got right into the conversation, Pastor, but probably just take about a moment or so and just let folks know about Lutheran Blind Missions and how we can help you out.
Thank you very much. Lutheran Blind Mission is designed to help people with hands-on aspects of ministry, whether it be through materials we send to their homes, like Portals of Prayer or inspirational Christian magazines like Lutheran Witness and Lutheran Digest. The Messenger is something we make in-house. We do this in Braille, large print and audio. We also have the world's largest lending library of Christian materials of alternative media. And then we do outreach centers, and we train. An outreach center is a community of people who are blind and vision impaired who gather together to support one another, a safe environment in which they can come and ask questions, spiritual questions, where we can help one another. And then we train our blind leaders so that they can also more effectively help people when they first come, when they first lost their sight. Contact information, we're up on the web at blindmissionsingular.org. And we have a new local phone number now. We moved from our offices on Watson Road down to McKinsey Road, 2 miles south.
And
our local number now is 544-3100. And part of the reason we moved, we're about ready to launch in a big way. We are unifying our ministry with Lutheran Braille Workers. Lutheran Braille Workers has made Bibles for 70, almost 80 years. And we've always run parallel. And people get confused. Well, which one are you? And so we're finally bringing us together. Neither of us have to join. It's not that we need to. But we're finding it would be helpful both for those who are blind that we serve, as well as then donors who support both ministries. Well, which one am I supporting? Well, it's all going to be under one roof. And so we moved our location in the process of getting ready to merge, as some things are moving down to Florida, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, now that's expansion.
It is. It really is, and we're very excited about that.
Well, let's go back to our phone callers. Let's see. Sandy, good morning. You have a question about the sign we're talking about.
Right. First of all, the sign says separation between church and hate. I'm going to put a different spin on it and say we don't know. We really don't know what that means. But I'm going to say maybe it's a church that wants to bring in all these people that really have not been churchgoers, that might be homosexuals, that might be people that believe in abortion, and they're hated. So come to our church, and through coming to the church, maybe they can change their ways. But the only way you can find that out is women are very inquisitive, like myself. To give them the benefit of the doubt, someone should really call the church and ask them, what does that sign mean? And then let us know their real meaning of the sign.
Well, thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Now, the only problem I have with calling that church and finding out what it really means is we wouldn't have had fun for the last 20 minutes other than grilling the broccoli on the grill and learning how to do that.
And again, it is not my intention to point a finger of ridicule at anyone. That's why I'm not giving out the church name. But it also caught my attention because it is, again, it's not an LCMS church, but it's a Lutheran church.
Well, and I think you're, Sandy's right, but Roland, you're right in bringing it up because it brings up the whole milieu, I guess is the word. The whole panorama of where we are in the society. Are we going to be accepting things or not? And that is valid. Now, when the last caller, not Sandy, the previous one, was it Herman, was speaking?
Yes.
It all of a sudden dawned on me, why is there a need for such a sign? It's because there are so many hurting, broken, hated people in our society, and they are looking for something. And this church is aware that they're trying, that there are broken people, and they're trying to meet a need. And that's a valid concern. We can be theologically correct and proper, but if we don't meet broken people and help them, what good is it?
Well, the other point of the questions being raised about the sign,
mm-hmm.
Before a church puts anything on a sign, maybe it really ought to think carefully about what it's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can hear there's some different inferences that are being taken by this, and mm-hmm. Some have a little bit of a political tone to them, some have a theological tone. So it seems to me that even though it sounds really kind of kitschy and cool, we support the separation of church and hate,
mm-hmm.
that maybe the meaning really isn't absolutely clear. And should a church put anything unclear on its sign?
Well, that's not the... Here I'm going to back off, and we may differ on this. As far as I was a parish pastor, and actually, when you read that, you mentioned that sign, it's like, that is fascinating. And really, it is doing what it's meant to do, is create curiosity, questions, and hopefully people will come in and ask, what does this mean?
Ah, I see.
Ultimately, that's what a sign is meant to do. bring people in. It's the whole point of advertisement. It's actually a good advertisement ploy. It might not be theologically correct. It might not be proper, but it's doing what it was meant to do.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. James, good morning. You're up next.
Good morning, Brother Roland.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, James.
Okay, I'd like for you to help me kind of work through this supporting separation of church and hate, you know, through a kind of logical Christian analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to you, it is acceptable to hate those things that God hates.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
And if the opposite of hate is love, then it's not God love. And if God is love, then the proper and appropriate posture as a follower of Christ is the one that would be love instead of hate.
Correct.
Am I still kind of clear?
You're still on the perfect road, yes.
Okay. So, in principle, as Christians, we should support the separation of love and hate. Because if we commingle and support the church and hate, then the church becomes like the church of Ephesus mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 7. And that's what I want you to help me work through, Pastor. Could you take a look at that passage of Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 7, and tell me, in a law gospel analysis, what is actually being said there, and if we as Christians, is it appropriate and proper posture as a Christian to actually be in support of the separation of church and hate? Because if we commingle it, I think we become like that church.
Mm. Interesting, interesting.
Good question, James.
Look at that passage, and I want to hang on and listen because I'm at work and I can't be near the radio.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll let you hang on then. Go ahead.
Roland, could you read that section?
I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me because the 600-pound large print English Standard Version Lutheran Study Bible has been taken away from the studio for some reason.
You're kidding me.
No, I apologize.
You're Bible-less?
I have the text that I brought with me for the conversation.
Okay.
I didn't. Usually it's right behind me here. We have an LSB in the room, so we're still sanctified. But, no, I do not have the Bible in front of me. I'm sorry.
Okay. I am listening to it on my speech here. I pulled it up real quick, but I can't relate everything. I know your deeds, your perseverance. You have persevered, endured hardships, verse 3, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have come, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of, and it mentions Nicolaite. From a law gospel point of view, James, you bring up a very good point in that, what is the law gospel analysis? Obviously, step one, when we look at a law gospel analysis of any item, first the law shows us our sin, where we try but we have failed. And then the gospel analysis is, though we failed, God has not failed, but he comes through. And it's either to love, to forgive, to rescue, and you can put many pictures there with that. And then once that happens, then we come back again with law and gospel, that now the law shows us and points us to the direction where we should be stepping towards, and though we fail, again, God comes, rescues us, and he helps us along the path. So in reference to this statement of separation of church and hate, the proper law gospel analysis. To be honest with you, I'd have to ask the question of one of my most favorite professors who I had is, why do you want to know? And the question he always asked for that is, I got to find out why you're asking the question, because you might need law, you might need gospel.
Okay.
And so, and that's actually part of this sign is actually in a sense good, because though it's saying one thing, it could say another. And law and gospel is always set in a dynamic where it bounces back and forth. I'm a good husband, I'm a lousy husband. I'm a forgiven husband, I'm a rescued husband. And I now strive to be a good husband again. And hey, I brought her flowers and I remember to say I love you and all, but now I'm a lousy husband because I didn't take out the trash. But I'm forgiven, so I can be... and on it goes in relationship to God. Law and gospel. Showing us our sin, God stepping in to save us.
James, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
You know, I knew the question was going to come up because, and really I think what James is driving at is we tend to forget that just because God is love,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean we negate wrath and justice and vengeance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a paradox we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That something can be both love and hate at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It would be interesting next week to see. Now, if this is a law gospel congregation, next week, this week it says we support the separation of church and hate. Next week it should say we support it'd be the opposite of that. The church having the right to hate.
Oh, yeah. Well, personally, I'm in favor of the separation of the sheep and the goats. Let's go back. Larry, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning there, Pastor.
Good morning, Larry.
Couple things here. First of all, we just went over this, Roland, or we're getting ready to go over it. I can't remember in Exodus. I think we're going to get to it. You know, when Moses went up Mount Sinai to get the law and he came back down, the people thought that they were under such grace that they could do anything they wanted. The law didn't apply because they were under grace.
Mm-hmm.
So, this particular church sign to me is an advertisement that this church body is antinomian. They're against God's law. Simply put, if you take that approach in the church,
mm-hmm.
what sins did Christ die for? If you do away with the law, sure, when in his two natures, his divine nature and his human nature, he overcame the law, and he declared that on our behalf. But he did not kill the law. When you sin, when I sin, the law still has its effect. That's where our repentance comes in, because we know that we have sinned against God. All things that God ordained at creation were perfect. They were good. You talked about this earlier, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But once you sin, and it goes against God's original creation, sin is sin. This church body is being all-inclusive, and we know what the subject matter is. Instead of word and faith, it's love first.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the old love boat thing. Everything flows from love. And you know what? Everything flows from God's love, and when you have disdain for his word, you're walking on a tightrope, in my opinion. Those are my comments.
Thanks, Larry. Good comments. What do you think, Pastor?
Oh, I can agree with Larry. If this is what the church is saying, they are running into deep trouble.
Well, he struck on one thing that did cross my mind, mm-hmm. which is that whole thing about antinomian, being mm-hmm. being against the law or being without the law.
Mm-hmm.
It also strikes me that this might be a little bit of a swipe at the Trinity.
Oh.
Well, and the fact that though we don't want to admit it, that many of us fall into the heresy of modalism.
Okay.
That the God of the Old Testament was the angry, hateful God.
Okay.
And now we have Jesus, who's the warm, soapy hug God.
Oh.
Who loves and receives everyone and doesn't question anything that you do.
Huh.
You know, just so long as you love and are, kind and you pet little puppies on the head, everything is fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that certainly is a very valid concern, especially when it comes to churches that do support, or whether they realize it or not, antinomianism, that does occur.
Yeah.
And it absolutely would be against the Trinity in meshing it all into one. And
separating out the Father from the Son, and they're two different people doing two different things. We can't do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the Trinity, because the Father is the Son, and the Son is, well, not... we don't have enough time for you to explain the Trinity.
That's I'm a simple guy.
What do you do with this? And I think this is where we have to bring this conversation, because there is this common phraseology, this common folk wisdom. I don't know if it appears in Scripture. It may be as valid as God helps those who help themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's this saying out there that says, God loves the sinner but hates the sin.
And I've been known to say that, especially for the confirmands, the junior confirmands, who don't get it through their heads that there's a difference between things, and that God can forgive and love, and yet the commandments are there. I guess I'll quote my professor. Why do you want to know?
Well, because sinners go to hell.
Yes,
sinners go to heaven too, but there's a distinction between the two, and that's Christ that stands between them.
Mm-hmm.
But when we say God loves the sinner but hates the sin, has that been abused, much like separating church from hate, to mean something completely different, that it means we now have to affirm and accept you as you are?
Well, to quote my professor who asked that question, why do you want to know, he would then immediately come out and say something like, so Rowan, if that means you can, because you understand the clarity that God hates sin and the sinful people, so you're going to put a sign in your lawn that says, I hate so-and-so and such-and-such, and I'm going to shoot you down because you're sinning and you got to know it. Then you need to hear the law. So it depends.
Right.
It depends.
The thing is that a misunderstanding of hate, I think, drives a misunderstanding of love.
Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
So what does it mean to love the sinner?
It means that God's willing to take the extra step in order to save a soul. And here's the thing that runs a lot of churches into problem is, and we, none of us would have any problem with that, but we will fabricate as human beings what those extra steps of God are.
Hmm.
Look the other way, ignore it,
right.
Whatever. But we got to look at what God says. I learned a long time ago, short little story, someone said, it was one of a Sunday school teacher when I was in the parish, said, I need a substitute teacher in 2 weeks. Would your wife be willing to teach Sunday school for me? I said, sure, no problem, because she likes kids and she likes teaching Sunday school. I went home then later that day and said, oh, by the way, Ralph said he needs a teacher. I said, you'd do it. And she said, you said what? Don't you dare speak for me. He should be asking me. You should hedge your... It, maybe she will. And I learned from that, I don't speak on her behalf. And I learned from that, I don't want to speak on God's behalf unless I know for sure he said that. And that's why we hold up God's word. God has spoken clearly on certain things. And one of those is the extra steps he's willing to go to, the extra steps he went to save souls, and that's the cross. And if we want to be saved, it's hold on to Jesus.
Yes. Well, if one thing, you're absolutely correct on this point, Pastor, and that is this sign did serve one purpose, and it got my head spinning. It really got my mind going in a lot of different places about this. And then again, that just may be the burden of being an LCMS Lutheran. We always think about things in theological terms.
It can be that as well.
Yeah. So if you take this with that phrase, you know, mm-hmm. loves the sinner, hates the sin. God hates sin, yes?
Mm, yes.
Okay. So when Christ becomes sin for us on the cross,
mm-hmm.
does he hate Jesus at that moment?
Absolutely. That's why he even cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?
See, now that's a mind-bender, that in that moment God
mm-hmm.
hated his own son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we think about it in those terms.
You're right. as I am watching and playing with my kids, as I see them grow, as I work with them with homework or struggle with them with their kids, and that crosses my mind. And God has a son and a relationship like this, and he was willing to let his son go to the cross. Oh, what love. I wouldn't have that type of love.
Yeah. So I guess in this hour of conversation, the big answer to that very little church sign was that, and if I followed you correctly, to deny any aspect of God's nature really is to deny God himself.
It is.
So to declare that you believe in separation of church and hate is maybe in a sense to deny some aspect of God's nature.
It is. It is. And Paul struggled with the churches with this because he pointed out to the Corinthians that, you know, just because you have been forgiven, you can't go off and do what you want to do. And so he spoke again about what the sanctified life is about. And he also spoke about not sorting yourself with darkness and the deeds of the dark. I'm thinking of Ephesians 4:15, but he says, speaking the truth in love. When we work with people who are struggling and hurting or uncertain, we do need to be clear. We do need to tell them what God says. But we need to do so, and here's the using the opposite word of hate, but love. Speaking the truth in love. And that, you know, I don't know what that word love is. I don't know if that's the agape or the philios. That's an interesting question. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also we have to remember that Christ did say that because the world hates him, it will hate us too.
Absolutely.
That's another variation of that word. So you can't separate church from hate in that sense either.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Interesting discussion. I think the church is trying to reach out to people that feel hated, that feel broken. And what are they going to do when they walk in the door or call? That would be the interesting thing.
Or listen to KFUO. Because you can take us with you. You don't have to. Pastor Dave Andrus, we've got about a minute left here, and I want to say again my thanks to you, because it's always fun to come on. And you know what? I didn't talk to you about the Jesus popsicles or David Dawkins or about what else was there? Oh, about how MSNBC says that this Health and Human Services contraception mandate is not a very Christian thing, that we're not accepting this compromise. Didn't have to get into any of that.
Ooh, love, hate
that
thing.
That provided so much. But take the last 30-40 seconds here and tell us again about Lutheran Blind Mission, what we can do to support you.
Lutheran Blind Mission seeks to help people who are broken and tossed away from society, which society tends to hate, because there is a little bit more need and care when somebody loses their sight. And we are willing to take that extra step and help people who have lost their sight so that they don't feel lost in life but can find meaning and purpose. We do so by bringing them God's word of comfort and hope in various ways, through materials, but then through the hands-on ministry of one-on-one, including training people, both the volunteers of congregations and people who are blind, to reach out and love. Blind Mission can be found on the website at blindmission.org.
Pastor Dave, next time I'll have to come up with a really tough one for you.
Oh, I think I'm going to choose the easy one next
Right. I gave you the choice.
You did.
Take care, my friend. All the best.
And you, thanks.
Well, guys, that's it for today. Another Bible study, another Ask the Pastor done. Don't forget, we're back tomorrow. Still more plagues to come. No reason not to tune in. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
This week on Sing for Joy, we remember the time of Pentecost, so music, both spirited and spiritual, awaits you. Join us.
So Sundays at noon on KFUO Radio.
This is John Fuller for Focus on the Family. Coming up this weekend, Help for Moms. Overcome your fears and model your faith for your kids. What married couples need to know about communication, divorce, and the reset button. And raising godly kids. Learn more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio. We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm John Belmont. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg says there is still a lot of investigating to do, but police are questioning a man on the eve of the anniversary of the 1979 disappearance of six-year-old Eitan Pates.
We have a suspect in custody who has made a statement to the NYPD implicating himself in the disappearance of Eitan Pates 33 years ago.
A law enforcement official tells the Associated Press the man is named Pedro Hernandez. He was picked up late yesterday in Camden, New Jersey, and is being questioned by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. The man has been tied to the case in the past, and we don't know what triggered the renewed interest now. An Ohio judge has ruled that a 17-year-old boy will be tried as an adult in the school shooting deaths of three students. Authorities say T.J. Lane has admitted firing a student sitting at a cafeteria table at Chardon High School. It was a good first quarter for the nation's banks, their earnings the highest in nearly 5 years, so no need for any bailouts here. FDIC Acting Chairman Martin Grunberg.
Nearly 90% of institutions were profitable in the first quarter, and more than two-thirds reported higher earnings than a year ago.
The number of newly jobless people applying for benefits wasn't much changed last week, and that's actually a good thing, signaling modest job growth. Day two of voting in Egypt's wide-open presidential election, the balloting showing how deeply polarized the Arab nation has become. Still, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says this is a positive result of last year's Arab Spring.
We are seeing in real time that those demands are making a difference, as Egyptians are going to the polls to determine for the first time in their history who their leaders will be.
A student from Texas has won the National Geography Bee, the annual event here in Washington. This is AP Radio News.